And I want to begin this morning by taking us back. I'm going to say last week, but what I mean when I say last week is the last time we were dealing with the topic that is in front of us. We've been talking for a number of weeks and took a break to celebrate dads last week. We've been talking for a number of weeks about cultivating the presence of God. And if you'll recall, when we started talking about this, we lifted up really three things that ought to stand in our minds as vitally important when we start thinking about cultivating this continual presence of God so that my fellowship with Him is unbroken. What we talked about then and what I want to end or conclude my portion of dealing with this morning, we talked about the fact that if I want the presence of God to always be with me, if I want to ensure that my communion with God is without end, that there is nothing that can come between me and God. And if you're like me, you understand it's a whole lot of stuff on any given day that has the desire to come between me and God. Anything, things on any given day that can also have the capacity to get between me and God. But I ultimately understand that I can't let nothing get between me and God, because God is absolutely who I need to ensure that I am able to be the person He wants me to be. We said that we need to think about God. And we transformed that notion of thinking about God to begin dealing with this discipline of meditation, that I contemplate the things of God, whether it's God's word or God's actions, whether it's God's deeds that He has done before me, but it's contemplative prayer, that I contemplate God and the things of God, whatsoever things we talked about when we dealt with that. And we said, okay, well, if I'm really in this relationship with God and I want to make sure that He knows that I love Him and I know that He loves me, and I made it akin to the human relationships we have, not only do I have you on my mind, but I am going to converse with you. We're going to talk, and it's not going to be the one-sided kind of talking that we think we can get away with every now and again. I want to go deep with you. I don't just want to share the facts. I don't just want to talk about other folk. I want to be able to share my heart. I want to, watch this, make myself vulnerable to you. I want to be open to you. And so we began to talk about what must my prayer life look like. If I'm thinking about God, then there are going to be some times that I need to be drawn just because you're on my mind like that. That I need to talk to you. Some stuff went on today that I need you to look on the inside of me and allow me to just pour all of that out. But then I need to listen sometimes to who you are, to who you say I am. I want to hear you say those words that when they come from you, they just are incomparable to any words that anybody else may speak to me. And so we talked about thinking on the things of God, what meditation ought to look like in our lives. We talked about praying, this conversation, this dialogue that I, as a believer, if I really want this relationship to be as strong as I know it ought be, that I need to be talking to you. If you married in here, you understand that I can't go but so long without us having some good conversation until I recognize something is wrong. Somebody say amen. So in the same manner, if I'm going too long without having those kinds of conversations with God, I have to admit that something may be wrong. And so a couple of weeks ago, we said that prayer must be a main focus if we are serious about cultivating the continual presence of God in our lives. We hit these three things and said, first, prayer is an intimate conversation with the Most High. Second, we said prayer is central to transformation. And lastly, we said prayer is a learned behavior. Nobody comes knowing how to converse effectively. In fact, if we look at the babies that we so often adore and lessen until they live in our house and wake us up in the middle of the night, we know that crying is their form of a communication, but we also know that it's the most ineffective form of communication there is. Let me say that to some grown folk. Crying is the most ineffective form of communication there is. Let me say it again for those in the cheap seats. Crying does not necessarily tell me what's wrong, right? Now, grown folk are a bit different than babies because you're going to tell me what's wrong while you're crying, and that kind of enforces the cry. You hurt me, right? You took the last Oreo out the box, whatever. Crying is still an ineffective form of communication. So this week, we're going to end it. This week, we're going to end my portion of this. And we're going to talk about something that actually, when you think about it, and if I had my board here, I'd write something that would look real crazy, because I think that what I need to say before we go any further is that this can't be thought of as linear progression. So you can't think of this in this way. You can't say that I am going to meditate, then pray, then submit. Because I believe that they are all interwoven, although they build on each other. I believe that you're doing some form of all of them at the same time. So it's not like until I can meditate and then I can pray and then I can submit. Because I believe that that submission has to be an aspect of our lives in order to make sure that our contemplative prayer is what it ought to be, meditation. That submission has to be part of my life if my prayer life is actually going to be what it is. Let me take it back to communication. I really can't talk to you unless I can, in some manner, submit to you, right? Why? Because if I can't do that, then it's going to be some stuff you're going to say to me that I just can't even hear. Because you just don't mean that much to me. Your words don't mean that much to me. So all of these things go hand in hand. All of these things, it's not a straight line from one to the other, but we're actually weaving them all together into this tapestry that allows us to effectively cultivate the presence of God in our lives. So I already let you know, this morning we're going to be talking about what does it look like in my life to submit. I want to begin with this verse. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 8. I'm going to read one verse and I'm going to read verse number 34. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 8. I'm going to read verse 34 in the English Standard Version. And it says there, "And calling the crowd to him with his disciples." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So Jesus, having this conversation with this group of folk who are always following him wherever he goes, and finding that this is a good moment to make a teachable moment, not just for the crowd, but also for his disciples, he decides to call the crowd to come to him and his disciples. When everybody has gathered, Jesus, with the profound nature of his voice, decides to say these words to them, and let me make it contemporary. If any of y'all want to be called my follower, if there is any among you who are following me around who really wants to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, let me make this as plain as I possibly can for y'all. You must submit. Deny yourself. Now, I can tell you, if this were a contemporary crowd, I believe that some folks' ears shut off in that moment. Because the last thing most of us desire to do, let's be honest, is deny myself. How many folk in here believe your birthday is a holiday? Raise your hand. Don't lie to me. Amen. How many of y'all celebrate your birthday the whole month? Raise your hand. Amen. Tell the truth. How many of those who raised your hand were born in December? I'm just doing a heat check. Yeah, okay. Okay. I just, yeah. All right. Okay. But Jesus tells them that if you want to be my follower, it's vitally important to that relationship that you begin to understand what it means to submit. That if you are so hung up on having your way all the time, can I make it real plain, like Griffin paraphrase plain? If you are finding it important to have your way all the time, that's going to be a problem. You and me going to have some issues. We're going to come to a crossroads and we may have to part ways. I want to read a verse that's not going to come up on the screen, but it's the verse right after verse number 34 in the 8th chapter of the gospel according to Mark. Jesus says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" He says, giving yourself up has to be important to you for this reason. You don't have the capacity to get out of your life what you actually want from your life, but I can. But the price of that is going to be, hear me, I need you to get out of my way. I would love for you. Okay. I'm going to make this real contemporary right here. I would love for you to be able to sit in the front seat next to me while I take you where we want to go. But you talk too much. And if I had you sitting in the front seat next to me, you'd be stepping on the brakes every time you thought I was going a bit too fast. And y'all know some of those folk who are riding next to you, and every time they see you doing something, they like, you ain't got no brake pedal over there, but your foot moving on the brake, and you sit in the back. Some of them amens are talking about me, but that's all right, because I will gladly. It's just a reflex, so I understand. I'm a better passenger. Watch. When I'm in the back seat. Because if I'm in the front seat, I ain't going to lie. Come on. I like to drive. So Jesus says to them, what I need you to understand is that you can gain the opportunity to be in control. But in return for control, you're going to lose the opportunity to actually get what it is you desire in the first place. Let me read it to you again. You're saying, that's not what it says. Let me read it to you and listen to it through the lens of what I just said. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever will have his way will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's, whoever is willing to give up control of what you're going to have, be, see, and do, will actually gain what it is you're going to have. Because what good is driving if you're going to drive your car into a wall? Where does it say that, Pastor? Okay, look at verse 36. Now, this is the extreme Griffin paraphrase. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? How many folk have kids who wanted to drive before they knew how to drive? My parents got me one of those little, now this was way, way back in the day, those little cars that actually drive. Believe it or not, and I was born in the 60s, they had those in the 70s. Now you had to charge it for like 3 days because the battery is about big as the car, the battery in your car right now. And literally, to go a block, that's right. and you ride it around five times, and then you got to go back and charge that battery. But kids love what it looks like to drive. But how many of us would actually entrust our child, even at 16, with our car on the highway? Okay, somebody say, help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. Y'all better say it. ML and Rolanda, I'm sorry. So my daughter just got her first car that she bought.
Amen.
Right? And my son just recently bought his first car that he bought.
Amen.
Right? They still on my insurance, but they got their cars. That's all right. Everything comes in time. Now watch this. So we have four cars at our house, which means I got to ask somebody to move their car so I can get my car out of the garage and out of the driveway. So when my daughter bought her car and we were talking about how we were going to manage this situation, the guy at the dealership who sold us all four cars said, well, Pastor, that's a good problem to have because y'all all got nice cars. Just drive whatever car is in the driveway. Right? Y'all already know where this is going. I said, au contraire, mon frère. They do have nice cars, but I ain't going to ask them to drive their car because ain't no need to them asking me, and y'all hear my English getting bad, but the theology is good. Ain't no need for them to ask me to drive my car at all. I love you. But the reason you have your car is because I like my car. Same principle. God understands ultimately that what we want from our lives, we cannot, apart from his leadership, get for ourselves. And so what God asks of us is, let me drive. And when we start talking about, hear me, because I'm going to make it real plain now. We can meditate all we want and pray from morning until night. But unless and until we are absolutely willing to do what Jesus says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 34, which is deny my right to drive. And give it willingly to him to take up the burden that comes with denying myself and taking myself to a place where I am open to whatsoever you may say. I'm going to lose out on some stuff. So let's get into it. And we're three quarters of the way to the end already. So when we talk about submission, when we talk about self-denial, the first thing we need to understand is that what God desires is that our submission be thoughtfully considered. God does not, he's not going to take it from you. One of the best things in the life of any parent is when your child, watch this, of their own free will does what it is you both know is in their best interest. Now, as parents, I'll take it from you because I don't want you to get hurt. I'm going to take that from you. But when it comes to submission, God wants us to thoughtfully consider, God, this is what I want to do. God wants our submission. In fact, God commands our submission. We are supposed to submit. He wants us to submit, and he commands our submission. But the next slide says, but God won't make us submit. He wants it. Scripture even says we supposed to do it. But until that moment where every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, God gives us the opportunity to, of our own free will, submit. So let me ask you the question. Us, why won't we willingly submit? I needed that to sit for a moment. Because if it sat long enough, there were some names other than God that came to your mind when that question was posed. Why won't we willingly submit? Because I believe that if we can truly, as believers in Jesus Christ, watch this, come to grips with our need to submit to God, I believe that the issues we have with submission in general will begin to dissipate. Can I ask a real honest question? Should I take that as a no? How many of you who are here today and willing to tell the truth have at some measure in your life now have a problem with submission? Thank you for that late one. That was good. Now watch this. Most of us would say, well, I ain't got no problem submitting to God. But if we were to sit and, if we were to put you in a room and say, can't nobody see what you're about to write on this paper, write every aspect and area of your life down right now, and every decision you've made in the last 6 days, and every decision you have in front of you in the last 6 months, are you willing to do whatever God says in spite of what you might think? I believe everybody in here would, at on one of them things, say, because God then says some stuff sometimes, and we have a problem with submission. But why won't we willingly submit? One of the biggest reasons I think that we don't willingly submit is that we're afraid that submission will mean that we lose ourselves. When I start listening to you and what you tell me to do, I feel like in some way I am losing myself. Watch, it's almost like I am telling you I can't do it. And we live in a culture where saying I can't is a bad thing. So I don't want to lose who I am, and all of a sudden you may go out and tell somebody, well, yeah, you know I'm the one that told them to do that. Or they wouldn't have been able to do that without me. And now all of a sudden people are looking at me as less than, and that I don't know what I want, and I am indecisive, and I can't. I lose my identity because I deny myself and submit myself to what it is you desire to do. But watch this. Jesus submitted to the will of God the Father. And Jesus did so without losing his identity. Let me take you all to this verse, because y'all looking at me like I'm blind, crippled, and crazy. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 5. This is called the kenosis of Christ, or the emptying of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. In other words, the writer here, Paul, is saying, listen, we need to think about ourselves the same way Jesus thought about himself. And we have to first understand that Jesus Christ is God, right? He is part of the Trinity. He is the second person in the Trinity. That Jesus Christ himself, though he was in the form of God, did not count being co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent with God a thing to be grasped. Look at the next verse, verse number 7. But emptied himself. What did he do? He denied himself. He denied the privilege that was his as part of the Godhead. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. Can you imagine being God and saying, come on, y'all. I'm going to give all this up and become one of them. Right? Being born in the likeness of men. Look at the next one, verse 8, last verse I want to read. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. This is the part we don't even get. Even death on a cross. This is not just, this ain't, you know, I'm going to give you this injection, you're going to go to sleep and not wake up. Even the death he had to suffer and endure on our behalf. So the next time you think about this opportunity in front of you to deny yourself, to give up your right, to give up all the attributes that make you who you are, I encourage you to think about Jesus. The next time you think that listening intently and pushing down my own desires for what someone else may be saying is going to make me lose my identity, I encourage you to think about Jesus. That my identity is actually not tied. In fact, me being able to submit to somebody else actually, in my mind, affirms how sound and secure I am in my identity. I don't have to push myself to the front to show you who I am. My wife used to say all the time, God knows my name. He's my justifier. I don't have to justify myself to you. Watch this. Let the works I do speak for me. Let my gift do the talking. And if there's no opportunity for it, that's fine. Yesterday, I went with a good group of brothers. We went to the Food Bank of Delaware to serve for 2 hours, right? And so we're in the food bank, and if you've ever been, you know you do whatever it is they're asking you to do. And so at one point, I had a floor jack, and I was, you know, moving pallets around and taking recycled stuff from one place to another. And somebody said to me, and it was a joke, but somebody said to me, man, I'm going to tell you, if that minister thing don't work out, you might have a future in warehouse work. I said, bro, I didn't have many jobs and ain't afraid of none of them. I do whatever the moment calls for me to do in service. Because my identity's not tied to what I do here. I'm actually able to affirm what I do here, which is serving, by serving wherever I might be and whatever may be needed. So when we start thinking, I can't submit because I'm going to lose my identity, I say to you, stop that. Point number two. I'm going to jump. I had a whole bunch of stuff of why we won't willingly submit, but I really need, I'm going to hit this one. Sorry. Last one. We're afraid. We don't submit because we're afraid that submission will mean that I have low self-worth. Let me say this instead of that. Rather than pointing to a low self-worth, submission points to our affirmation of God's infinite worth. See, whenever I am afraid to submit to someone, I am actually saying that I'm worth more than you. And so me kind of coming, you know, in this moment, although it's never a beneath thing, beneath points to us thinking in hierarchical ways, right? That if I submit to you, you're my boss. If I submit to you, you're better than me. Wait a minute. Ephesians 5:21 says what? Submit to one another in reverence of God or in reverence of Christ. That I am supposed to be equally submitted to each of us, that I submit myself to you because you're my brother, that you submit yourself to me because you're my brother. And even though, watch this, our roles may be different, that in the eyes of God, we're the same. And so I am supposed to submit myself to you in the same way you submit yourself to me. And what dictates that is where we are and what the moment calls for. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so when we start talking about, I don't want to submit myself to you because it will make me look like I don't value myself. No, it shows that I value whoever I'm submitting to in that moment more, because the moment calls for it. Point two. Our submission is to be daily. So our submission is to be thoughtful, but our submission is also to be daily. What does that look like? I'm glad you asked. My daily submission can look like this. I submit to God. If you can't submit to God, I believe you can't submit to nobody else. That's just real talk. Think about it. God, if I got a problem submitting to God, how am I ever going to be able to bring myself to submit to someone God created? How'd that work? But I guess it does work if I have a low view of God. Because I'll submit, watch this, I'll submit to my boss because my boss pay me. But God created your boss, right? I'll submit to my mama and my daddy because they feed me. Well, actually, they don't. They can be the conduit through whom God feeds you. So we can submit to God. What can submission look like daily? Submit to God. Second, submit to God's word. What does God say? I call this the guardrails for our existence as believers. This literally guards and guides my life. So what does it say? How am I supposed to act in my relationships and as I go about my day? How am I supposed to act to those who have less than I do? How am I supposed to act to those who would desire to do me harm or speak ill of me? How am I supposed to act? Next, we can submit to family. Last two, we can submit to authority, and we can submit to each other as members of the body of Christ. But our submission is supposed to be a daily thing. It's not, I just submit to God and that's once and forever, because we understand that there are going to be moments in my life that are going to bring back to me the question, am I willing to submit to God here? Am I willing to deny myself here? What if God actually would rather I not do that, but do this? But I really want to do that. Am I willing to give that up to have what God has for me? We could go on that all day long. Last one. Submission is to our benefit. I think submission is one of the most humbling things that we can do. I think submission benefits us by making us very cognizant of the fact that I don't have to always get my way. How many folk feel like you always have to get your way? How many folk feel like you got to get your way 80% of the time? 70. Y'all sitting on them hands today, boy. I'm not gonna do it. Pastor, you ain't gonna see it, but my hand went up on 100 on the inside. I'm just saying, you ain't gonna get me today. Right? Submission proves that I don't have to get my way. Submission also frees me to give in to the will of others. When I am able to submit to God, then I've shown myself by submitting to God that I don't have to always be right. I don't have to always get my way. And when I begin to understand submission in its proper context, that it's not me giving up my identity, it's not me having low self-worth, it's not me not being able to figure it out on my own. Submission is what God calls me to. Now I can see if I can submit to God without giving up my identity, if I can submit to God because he is my justifier and affirms me in who I am and it does not in any way harm my self-worth, now I can give in to somebody else. Everything doesn't have to be an argument.
Amen.
Sometimes it can just be, you know what, I hadn't even seen it that way. We're going to do it that way this time. I'm good with it. Let me tack this on. And if it doesn't work out, I'm not going to be in your face saying, see, we shouldn't have done it that way anyway. We should have done it. Amen. Has God done that to you? Okay. Submission helps me see I don't have to get my way. It frees me to give in to others. Watch this. This is important. It reveals a heart of selfishness. Because every time I am confronted with an opportunity to deny myself, to esteem others more highly than I esteem myself, to give in to God, and I am fighting against it, that's a moment of reflection. Because I got to ask myself, what is going on in me right now that makes it so difficult for me in this moment to give this thing up? What is this, an idol? Or is it actually showing me what's on the inside of me right now? And watch this, because I told you they're all interwoven. Because when it does that, now I get to go back to God in prayer. Contemplating, God, look at what just you asking me, or look at what just this opportunity for me to give in to what somebody else may desire to help us both get to a common and expected end. And I am wrestling with this, Lord. What is in my heart? Help me deal with that, because remember, the thing that prayer changes most is me. And then last, submission is beneficial to me because it allows me to value others above myself. I want to read this, and then I'm done. Matthew, chapter number 20. Beginning at verse number 25 and ending at verse number 28. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. Remember, I talked about this hierarchy that we believe. Jesus came to turn that hierarchy on its head, saying, no, it's not about being at the pinnacle, because those who are at the pinnacle are actually those who are at the base. Those who are chief among you are actually those that you would count least. So if you want to be great, you need to submit yourself. If you want to be great, you need to deny yourself. If you ever want to reach the top, you need to be a servant willing to give yourself to others in whatever may be needed. And if you need an example, look at me. I emptied myself. Look at me, I gave up many of the attributes and the rights that I had in heaven to take on this flesh and to die for you. Submission is needed. It's necessary. Submission is a command of God, but God wants us to give it to him willingly. And I think that when we begin to integrate the discipline of submission along with those others, and many that we did not name here, we will find that we have actually cultivated a relationship with God that ensures that we have his presence with us always. Let me ask this one last question, and then I'm going to do these takeaways, and we're going to go away. How many of you absolutely believe the truth that you need God's presence with you always? Right. Then if I know I need God's presence with me always, what won't I do to ensure that I always have it? Here go your takeaways for this week. Point one, submission is to be thoughtfully considered. Point two, our submission is to be daily. Point three, submission is to our benefit. Here's the question I want you to ponder this week. Where can I submit to God's will and others in my life this week? Now, there's a whole lot more that goes to the discipline of submission that we didn't talk about. There are some ways that you can absolutely make this a bad thing. And submission doesn't mean you submit to stuff that you know is against who God is and what God wants you to do. Come on, somebody. Right? And you can make yourself a doormat or a people pleaser, thinking you're being God's person and submitting. No, no, no. Those are bastardizations of what we just talked about. But that's a teaching moment, not a preaching moment. So we didn't get there this morning. But just know, God expects and desires that we will find the places and the spaces where we are supposed to yield ourselves always and ever to him. But more importantly, if I am able to yield to him, I ought to know that I'm not supposed to always be in charge, and I'll yield myself to others when and where appropriate. Let's stand on our feet. God, we honor you and ask that you would take us to the places and fill the spaces in our lives that make us better disciples. Lord, every person in here who is a believer in Jesus Christ is absolutely a disciple. God, we all ultimately have the same call from you, that is to mature and reproduce. So, Lord, on that journey, we need to understand who you are, understand who we are, understand who we are with you, understand who we are together, and then help each other get to where we're all supposed to be. Every person in here is valuable in your sight. Every person in here has worth in your sight. And so, God, if we all have value to you and we all have worth to you, how can we have any less than value to each other and any less than grand worth to each other? So God, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we affirm our commitment to you, which also means we ought to affirm our commitment to each other. To see the infinite good in the person in front of me, behind me, next to me, the persons I live with, the persons I work with, all created in your image and likeness, And though all at all times not seen, we know that inside each is a worth and a value that you desire to draw out. So God, there are going to be seasons when we need to submit ourselves to that notion and see others in that way, even when we can't see it with our natural eye. God, help us when those times arise. Father, speak in this moment to anybody who is here and at the point of decision about their relationship with you. Speak to their heart, Holy Spirit. Give them your word, and let that word bring in them new life. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let everybody say amen. Amen. You may be here, and we never want to take it for granted, but we won't linger here today. If you are here and you've never accepted Christ, please come. If you believe the Holy Spirit is telling you to do so now, just walk away from where you are and come stand here. If you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, meaning you want to stop doing the unsubmitted life, where you know all the answers and you're going to do it your way, and now you're really like, listen, I need to deny myself daily, take up the burden that comes along with being a follower of Jesus Christ, and then walk with him. That's what I want to do now, and I need to affirm in front of God, angels, and this assembly that I'm doing that from this day forward. If that's you, come. And the last one, if you are a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, already submitted and walking in a full and rich relationship with him, but you just need a launching pad, a home base, a home church, and you believe God has sent you to Harvest to be that place, come. Come give your life to the Lord. Come rededicate your life to him. Or come seeking church membership as an already baptized believer. Anybody here who God is leading today to respond to any of those invitations? Harvest, clap your hands this morning. We're gonna go stand at the back. We're going to give the benediction. Send you all off today. Leaders, there's a meeting and following service today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for being who you are, always and ever doing what you're going to do, opening our eyes, loving us, caring for us, leading us. And God, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that as we leave this place today, that we not leave your presence. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ that we absolutely this week as we pray, as we meditate, God, that you would show us the areas in our lives that we have yet to submit to you, that we do it openly and willingly, understanding that there is freedom and liberation that comes through submission. That we give ourselves over to you and in the proper places and at the proper time to those you appoint in those moments that we submit to as well. We love you and we honor you. And now unto him who's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And everybody say amen, amen, and amen.